I don't want to get sad.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and it's good to see you. Thanks for being here once again.
We had a little break.
Yeah, what did we do?
We went and spent pretty much a full week in Ken's hometown of St. Walburg, Saskatchewan, with family and celebrated Christmas. Then we came home and spent New Year's with my side of the family and also had some visiting time with a cousin and his family. And just relaxing.
Yeah. Now we are with you. We're back. And we thought we will do a year in review. But instead of just talking about different events of our life just to share for the sake of events, what are the lessons that we learned from the highs and the lows of this past year of 2021? Because we want to share more than just events. Part of this channel and part of our message is we want to be practical. We want to encourage people in their faith. And so we'll reflect upon our experiences and say, hey, what's the lesson from our highs and from our lows? So do you want to start, Janelle?
Sure, I can start.
Okay.
Well, I think the first thing that I just want to mention is how in every event or every circumstance that comes our way, God is present. And God has allowed it for some reason, for His greater glory. And so even though sometimes some of these things can feel like lows or difficult times, it's important to remember that He is present in that moment. So I'm going to start with a low.
Sure.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
So I have a little list of lows.
I can't believe you like, have lows.
Like mandates, seeing friends suffer because of mandates, state of the world, you know, seeing other countries and how they're treating their people, just different injustices, even just confusion coming out of the church. All of these things have been a real low for me.
Okay.
And, but the lesson in it is that God is sovereign. And I, right from the very beginning, I remember when, COVID first happened, almost 2 years ago. I remember I had one moment of like anxiety thinking, what if this is like horrible? Like, what if the end of the world is happening? Or I don't know. I was just had a great fear. And I immediately heard the words of Our Lady to St. Juan Diego. Am I not here who am your mother? And from that moment, I've just been carrying those words with me throughout this last year and a half. And I just feel a lot of peace, regardless to whatever crazy stuff is going on around me.
Okay. Well, I'll continue on your theme because I'm good at lows. So out of characteristic for you. But I did ask you to come up with some lows.
Yes.
So for me is also dealing with some of the COVID mandates and restrictions put on by our government. Some of them just seem so absolutely ridiculous and unjust. I'll give you an example. And a number of months ago, I did a video on this, but how there was worship restrictions in our province. Was it 30 people?
Yeah, something like that.
50 people. I can't remember. No matter how big the worship space was, there was a cap on how, not on percentage of seating capacity, but just how many people could be there. So I think it was 30 people. Let's say it's 30. Can't remember. Well, if you could seat 2,000 in the sanctuary, doesn't matter, just 30 people. It just seems so ridiculous because I called the Costco manager, which where we were living at the time was just down the street, and I asked him what capacity he was limited to. And he said 850 people. So Costco could have 850 people, but our cathedral with seats well over 1,000 could only have 30 people or 50 people. I can't remember, but it just absolutely made no sense. And so I found myself struggling with some of these obvious injustices. And depending on which part of the world you find yourself in, you may have experienced some of those. What's the lesson? Because I could sit here and complain and complain. But for me, the lesson was that realizing Jesus experienced restrictions in his life, even though he was God. And the biggest restriction that he imposed upon himself because he laid down his life was that upon the cross. There he was fixed. He can't move. He can't, his hands can't minister. His voice is parched because he's thirsty. So in this, I guess I'm trying to identify with Jesus Christ, who was restricted as well. Trying to find some meaning in some of the injustices that we have experienced. And I guess that was a consolation. God is familiar with injustice.
Do you want to do another low? I only have two loaves, so okay. I thought I'd get them out of the way.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I don't want to get sad. I think a low for me was seeing Ken have to cancel all of his bookings for this upcoming year. Like, all of his speaking. Like, as long as I've known him, he's always been a public speaker. And now in these last 2 years, he's been speaking to a screen, to a camera, and not to people. And that's been a big change, and it's been difficult. But at the same time, the lesson that I've learned is that God has prepared us for this. Because I feel like he has provided other opportunities for meaningful work. And he hasn't left us hanging or left abandoned us in any way. But it's just been sad for the transition, I guess.
That was one of my lows. So for over 20 years, I've been speaking full time up until COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way of life that I never considered living outside of. You just travel all the, first of all, the travel all the time. And last maybe 7 years is a lot in the United States, jumping on planes, sometimes many times in the week. I would go fly to the U.S., fly back home, fly back again, or many, many times a month. So when COVID hit, complete, total change of lifestyle. And it was like something I really enjoyed too, was taken from me. Like I love doing parish missions. That's probably 99% of what I would do. Encouraging people in the faith, pointing them to the Eucharist. I just love that. I really mm-hmm. do. And so there was a mourning this year because all the events that I had from the previous year that were canceled were just pushed into the next year. But then these mandates continued, restrictions from the government, border restrictions, and everyone started realizing, well, I can't even get to the U.S. where most of my events are. So then everything was just ended up being canceled. And the realization of maybe I'll never do this again. Mm-hmm. Hard to know. But coming to terms with that was difficult because I really love it. But with that, I feel that the Lord has worked because mm-hmm. I can't love my work more than I love Him. I can't love the ministry of God more than I love God. And I think this is a refinement in my heart. He just asked me to detach from the things that I've really fallen in love with about ministry. Here's an example. The delight in being wanted. See, when you show up at an event, sometimes a parish is booked out up to 2 years. And so they want you to come. And I want to be there. Okay, but that's part of it. But there's an unhealthy, I recognized, attachment in my heart, delighting in being wanted. I should be satisfied with Jesus alone. And so there's many of these little attachments that the Lord has brought up when I'm no longer able to speak publicly, that He's shown me, okay, I need to refine my heart mm-hmm. here. So there's some lessons in that. Overall lesson, I can't love the ministry of God more than I love God.
Mm-hmm. And I think He knew that I needed you home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult having a husband who's gone all the time.
Do you have something?
Oh, hi. Yeah, okay, let's move on.
Hi. Here we go, guys. Thanks for hanging in. If you haven't, stop watching already.
This year, we moved out of our home that we built 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago. We decided, met with a realtor Friday. We were going to list it within a week. We were moved out by Tuesday. And had this wonderful rental property available for us. That's super well suited for our family. And we sold our house in that first weekend.
Yeah. Massive blessing.
Yes. So that was a big high with a little bit of lows because it's sad to leave your home of 7 years. But it's good to detach. And we have something exciting to look forward to because we are hopefully going to be building a new home out of the city. That's a high for me because it means we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Related to that, I think one of the highs for me in the last year is new relationships that we've developed with families. Families that we knew in the past, but that we've now really grown in friendship with because we might be all moving, God willing, into the same area. And so developing these relationships with families who are of like mind with us mm-hmm. in faith and our view of the world, raising families, educating our kids. It's been a massive, for me, I can't speak for you, but a massive blessing to get to know these families better. Seeing how their children relate with our children has also been a great blessing, because as parents, you want your children to have good relationships with mm-hmm. other kids. And we can influence that by the people that we spend time with. What families do we spend time with? Well, these families have been a wonderful influence on our children because they come from similar mindsets, same faith. I think about sometimes parents losing influence over their children. And there's a shift with the children that they become, they become peer focused instead of parent focused. And that's not God's will. God's will is that parents raise children, not peers raising children. And we as parents can influence this by the types of families we spend time with. And I'm just so blessed that we get to spend time with families who want to be holy.
Mm-hmm. And who want to raise saints.
Yeah.
So the next high was, a year-long project came to an end.
Oh, yes.
And that was the Fatima consecration. And that was really just such an eye-opener, learning about Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, her take on Fatima. And so we were asked to do a Marian consecration based on her writings. So that was a really big project. It was lots of learning, and then we actually got to implement the consecration at the beginning of September. And when that wrapped up, like the videos were done, we went on a family holiday to the mountains for like 5 days, and it was just glorious.
So regarding the Fatima consecration, that was a highlight of mine as well. Mm-hmm. One of them, the fact that there would be someone else that would want to partner with us. Mm-hmm. So Clay Ministries, if you're watching, thank you so much for trusting us with this idea and with this message, because they approached us with the idea mm-hmm. and we ran with it, and they entrusted us to develop these videos. It took a year, basically a year to develop the messages, release them in September. Many of you watched that. But the blessing for me was to know that there's another team out there mm-hmm. who want to work with us. And that's really special. And I really appreciate that. I was blessed by that. And then, as you said, to implement it, to pray through the Fatima mm-hmm. message.
And to invite other people to consecrate their lives to Our Lady, to Jesus through Mary.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. For our family, it was a very busy time. Very, like, can't emphasize. It was so busy to get that project done that year. And then to shift in September. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't do too much during the summer, but we shifted and we got that holiday. Mm-hmm. And one of the lessons for me by going to the mountains with our family was that memories are built when we break routine. Mm-hmm. We typically don't remember the day-to-day things that we did exactly 1 year from now. But I will remember what we did in 2021 in September mm-hmm. because we went to Jasper. And it was such a blessing to watch our kids hike in the mountains, to be there in the fall where the elk are bugling. Have you ever heard elk bugle? What a sound. Mm-hmm. And to see the herds of elk, and to have them go right by the vehicle, and our son, who's just so fascinated with wildlife, look, Dad, look, and taking out the camera, and then watching the big bull elk bugle right beside the vehicle. Beautiful memories. Really, really a great blessing.
You said we didn't do much this summer.
Well,
we moved.
I mean, for a holiday, like break time.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I meant.
Okay. We did do a few little day trips. Oh, you might have forgotten something important here.
What?
We're having baby number 7. Hello. So in October, yes, we found out after Ken had been sick for a very long time.
Not after I was sick for a very long time. In the middle of when I was sick.
Well, no, you were in bed for like 11 days.
Yeah. But then in the middle of that, this is what happened. This is what I think happened. Okay. I don't know where
I don't think you remember, because you weren't totally with it, but that's okay.
I'm lying in bed.
for like 11 days.
And you come in from the bathroom with the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And you say,
hey, guess what? And you have hardly been able to get out of bed for like 2 weeks.
I simply could not enter into that moment. I was still really sick.
Yeah.
There was, unfortunately, there was not joy in that moment for me because I was just not well.
Yeah.
That was a high that came after for me. But for you, you celebrated in that
right.
moment.
Yeah. Right. It was like, wow, okay, God is allowing us to have another baby, you know, and every child that's conceived is going to be a soul for eternity. This is like big deal stuff.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yes, that's another exciting thing. We are due in June.
The due in June, but the joy of also seeing our children rejoice, knowing that mommy's having a baby. Mm-hmm. Which brings up interesting conversations with young children because they start asking, well, how does that happen? And we've had some really great conversations.
Yes.
Regarding marital love, where babies come from, and sometimes getting more specific age-appropriate material, which has been a side wonderful blessing that has continued. Right. Would you say continued?
Yeah, it's like the conversation has been ongoing for the last few months. And sometimes it can be a little humorous, you know?
Maybe we'll do another video on some of those conversations.
Sure.
The most disgusting thing that has happened this year. This is what I can think of. I mean, it's not a high, it's not a low, but just something that was so disgusting. I don't think I've ever shared anything like this on camera.
Most
but
disgusting.
This is what it was. When one of our children, they have a habit of picking their nose and eating it. So that's disgusting in itself.
Do you have to share this?
I do. And that child comes to us and explains how when they were picking their nose, instead of eating it, they shared it with their younger sibling.
You can cut this part out.
And they were so excited to share that news with us, thinking this was totally fine, right? It was just a total innocent thing that they were doing.
Yes, but we gently corrected that, and so that's not really appropriate to be doing.
See, we are a disordered family. So I think that's it, huh? Do you have anything else?
No, that's everything.
Okay. So those are our highs and lows and lessons we've learned from the last year of 2021. Thank you for joining us in all the videos, whether it be the Advent videos, the Lenten videos that we did, this Fatima consecration series, or our weekly Wednesday stuff. We are continuing to come to serve you this way. We look forward to doing more series in the new year. Not sure exactly what they're going to be, but every Wednesday we'll for sure be coming to you. And that's it.
And is all.
God bless.